Hello, awesome humans, and welcome to today's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and I'm so grateful that you're here. As a quick reminder, we record this podcast with a live virtual audience, so you will hear me respond to comments and questions throughout. If you'd like to join our live audience, I would love it. You can go to nataliecogan.com to see the schedule of upcoming shows and to sign up. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just take a deep breath to arrive in this moment right now. This time is for you, and I hope you find this episode really valuable. Happy New Year, awesome humans. Welcome to our first podcast of the year. I am so grateful that you're all here, whether you're here with us live, we're listening or watching it on YouTube. Welcome. I'm Natalie, in case we haven't met. Welcome, everyone. We have a really, really special episode today. I'm just going to dive in and tell you, I have a very special guest. My daughter, Mia, who is my BFFFF and my guiding light and maybe my greatest teacher and my favorite collaborator, is going to be joining us in a few minutes. And Mia and I are going to talk about the impact of what happens when you begin to practice self-compassion and how the impact that has on everyone in your life. Mia has been the witness of my journey from burnout to thriving. So I cannot wait to share her with all of you. She's super excited. So Mia will be joining us in a little bit. But as we all gather and as I open my chat, I just want to say again, Happy New Year. Welcome to whatever day it is that you're listening. And let's begin the way we always do. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean we need to change wonderful things that are working, right? Take a moment and complete this sentence. I'm an awesome human because. I am an awesome human because. And if you're here with us live, I always ask you to please share in chat. You'll help inspire so many other awesome humans who have gathered with us live. If you are listening to this or watching the recording, pause. You can just pause and shut me up and do this practice. Take this moment to appreciate yourself. You know, we're in the season of new year, new you. I hate new year, new you. Okay. I hate this idea that we have to become some new version of ourselves. I think it's new year, be kind to you. New year, appreciate you. Because when you appreciate yourself, when you practice kindness to yourself, that is actually the fuel. That's the spark, the energy that gives you the ability to do all the things you want to do and improve in all the ways that you want to improve. So here it's not new year, new you. Here it's new year, appreciate you. So I'm an awesome human because, and I'll start because I got to practice this too. I'm an awesome human because we just got back yesterday from taking my parents on an amazing adventure to Mexico City as their 50th anniversary gift. And it was incredible. We love Mexico City and they'd never been. And it was absolutely incredible. And we planned this whole adventure. And then we went for a couple of days to San Miguel de Allende, which is an amazing 15th century preserved town about 3 hours away. So it was incredible. But I am so exhausted. I mean, I was saying to my husband and my daughter, Mia, that I got to experience the deepest joy that I think is accessible to us humans. And I think we experience the deepest joy when we are able to give joy to people that we love. And it was just incredible. My parents loved it. We had this incredible time. They had this amazing time. And so it was as deep as joy, but it was exhausting to be guiding them. And I speak Spanish, so I was a translator for everyone. So it was amazing, but it was a lot. And I am totally wiped out. And so I'm an awesome human because I am honoring the fact that I'm really exhausted. I'm sharing it with all of you. And I have tried to take it easy these days after arrival, including today. And can I just share one simple way? Because I think when I often teach this and I say, you know, you can take it easier on yourself, people sometimes tell me, well, I can't. I have this intense work schedule or people need me and my family. There are simple things that you can do a little bit less. And I'm going to share one of them with you right now. And you'll see just how tiny it is, okay? Because it just happened right before. So I was getting ready, doing my whole setup to do this podcast. And I sat down in front of my screen and I was like, oh my God, I meant to put on earrings. And instead of taking off my microphone and running out and putting on earrings, I was like, you know what? I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think anyone cares. So I saved myself that like friction, that extra thing that do you guys care that I'm not wearing earrings? No, everyone's fine. Okay. But I just want to share this example because there's these tiny ways that we can either over effort or give ourselves a little break. And so I'm honoring my exhaustion by doing a tiny bit less. And so one of those things is I didn't go and put on earrings. And so I just wanted to share this because I think it's really, really important to, as we enter this new year, and again, we're in the season of goals and resolutions and intentions. And if those work for you, that's wonderful. But be realistic and really focus on the simple things, because the simple things are the ones that you'll stick with. The simple things, when you do them consistently, are the ones that have an impact. So that's why I'm an awesome human. I love everyone sharing in chat. And thank you for affirming that you don't care that I'm not wearing earrings. But I share this example. I actually like didn't even mean to, but it happened, because I think it's really powerful. Because I think that if you've been with me for a while, you know, this is something that is at the core of what I teach, is that the simple, there's simple yet surprisingly powerful ways which you can practice every day that don't take a lot of time or effort, but that have a giant impact on your well-being, your thriving, your emotional fitness. We tend to dismiss them. And so maybe for the new year, you can be more intentional about finding those small ways, right? To not over effort, to not push yourself that like last little bit, to be like, wow, does that really matter? Can I do a little bit less here? Will it actually give me more energy to do the important thing? Thank you. Someone is noticing my Frida Kahlo ring. So we were in Mexico City as I was sharing. And of course, we went to the Frida Kahlo house. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw me sharing. This is my favorite Frida Kahlo ring. I didn't get it in Mexico City. I actually have had it for a decade, so I'm not sure where I got it. But this is a Mexico City vibe today, everyone. Okay, this top I got in Mexico City, that we got Frida Kahlo. So we're in colorful Mexico City vibes. So just take that intention with you this year to find small ways to not over effort. And the way it's about setting boundaries for your own effort. And the way that I think about it is, what can I say no to so that I can say yes with full energy and enthusiasm to the things that are most meaningful to me? And it was more meaningful to me to really show up to you guys with my full being versus running around and trying to find earrings and like over effort in that way. So I hope that resonates. And I actually didn't mean to start this way, but I think it's a really powerful intention for the new year, is to find those small ways to not over effort so that you have enough energy for the most meaningful things in your life. All right. So before we have our very special guest, thank you for, there's so many folks who just joined, a very special guest. My daughter Mia is joining us in a few minutes. And you'll get to ask her all the questions that you want. And I have some questions for her. She's super excited to be here. But I wanted to share something with you. Again, we're in the season of like New Year resolutions and goals. And it is actually a wonderful time to set new intentions, because it gives us this opportunity. It's a fresh start. But I don't do resolutions. I don't really do goals. It just doesn't work for me. I do... every year I write kind of reminders to myself, things I want to remember for the new year. And if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen my reminders to self. So my birthday was also last week, December 29th. If there's any fellow Capricorns here, hello. Celebrated my birthday in Mexico City with my most cherished humans. That was awesome. So I wrote 18 reminders to myself on my birthday and to start the new year. And I wanted to share a few of them with you to encourage you to write your reminder to self as we dive into the new year. So I wanted to take a few minutes to read a few of them to you. And again, I want you to just think about, what is your note to self that you'd write to yourself this year? What's your reminder to self? And again, if you do resolutions or goals or intentions, wonderful, but I'd love for you to add this reminder to self. I find writing these reminders, and I printed mine out, and I keep them in my journal, and reflecting, reading them throughout the year really helps me to kind of just remember what I want to focus on, what's important. So before my daughter Mia joins us and we talk to her, I want to read a few of these to you, if that's cool. All right. So, and if, by the way, if you don't follow me on Instagram, Mia says I'm a great follow. So at Natalie Kogan on Instagram and LinkedIn, that's where I spend most of my social media time. All right. So I'm going to read a couple of my reminders to self that I wrote on my 48th birthday. And again, if you want to share your reminder to self as you listen, if you want to put it in chat, wonderful. Andy is kicking us off. Andy is already in chat sharing his. His reminder is breathe and go slow. I love it. All right, here's a few of mine. I wrote 18. I'm not going to read all 18. I'm not going to put you guys through that. All right, I'm going to just pick a few. You always have the choice of the lens through which you see yourself, a situation, or someone else. You can be in a creative mindset or a comparing mindset. Creative feels expansive. Comparing feels small. Oh, and you can always choose to shift. The biggest obstacle is the story you tell yourself. That's your only limit. If you're forcing it, it won't work. Find a way to do it from joy. Ease and effort are not opposites. When you align with what feels 100% true, hard work feels easeful. When you feel out of alignment, frustrated, stuck, gratitude is always the answer. Keep adding to your and author and artist and speaker and creator and. Your life right now is not one you could have predicted 10 or even 5 years ago. Remember this for the future. Be more bold. Take more chances. The boldness is the goal, not the outcome. It makes you feel more alive. Worrying about the outcome is a stupid waste of effort. Invest that effort in the process instead. You're always becoming and emerging. Find the joy in that. And one of my favorites, this was my last reminder to self that I wrote. Like Ram Dass said, don't do it like it's a weight on your shoulders. Do it like a dance. If you don't know Ram Dass, he's a great spiritual teacher. He used to be a professor of psychology at Harvard, and his books have had a giant and teachings a giant impact on me. So that was my 18th reminder to self. I love this quote from him. Don't do it like it's a weight on your shoulders. Do it like a dance. I ended with this because this is my big intention for this year, is to not do it like it's a weight on my shoulders, to do it like a dance. So I just wanted to share some of these with you. I hope these resonate. I hope one of the ones that I read kind of fueled something in you or reminded you of something. Thank you for sharing. I love that. Yeah, Nicole says she loves the and. Yes, keep adding to your and. That's one of my kind of revelations last year, is that there's no end to the and. Think about all your ands. We're multidimensional, unlimited humans. We tend to get into these very narrow stories about ourselves. And that was a giant lesson for me last year. I realized I was really narrowing myself. So you're going to see a lot of new things for me this year coming out, both in my work and my art. I'm really excited to share them with you. I kind of feel like I'm a butterfly emerging from a cocoon, which is sometimes we have to be in a cocoon. JC's asking if they can be, if I can put these in my email. Yeah, I should put these in my email. Good idea. But also if you go on Instagram, you'll find that. But yeah, I like that. I like the idea. I should put them in my email. I'll do that. Thanks, JC. yeah, it's just a good practice. I really love writing these reminder to self. Okay, so before, I'm thinking, what else did I want to mention before Mia joins us? So I want to actually, before Mia comes on, I want to just share, I alluded to it a little bit at the beginning. I want to share my bigger why for why I wanted to have Mia on, other than she's amazing and I think you should all meet her, and she's home from college, so I get to do things like this with her. But a big reason is, as if you read my emails, you have heard me mention this, I am launching my first ever 5-week online coaching program at the end of January. And actually, I'm going to put the link in chat, and it will be in your show notes. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, for you to get on the wait list. So I'm launching this program. It's called Unleash Your Thriving. It's my 5-week program to help you recover from burnout and truly thrive and find joy and happiness again. And if you Once we release a sales page, so the link I posted now is you can join the waitlist. The waitlist will be the first to hear about the program, and the waitlist will get special bonuses that no one else gets. But as we've been working on the sales page, just to tell you about the program, there's a video from Mia front and center. And the reason it's there is the reason I wanted her to come and join us is because often we restrict ourselves. We don't think that we deserve our own care. We think it's selfish. And Mia's been the greatest witness in my life and the greatest teacher to show me how it's the opposite of selfish. So that's why I wanted to have her on. And there she is. Hi, Mia.
Hi.
Oh my God. Hold on. Let me spotlight you and let me spotlight myself. Okay. I figured out the tech. Hi, Mia. All right, everyone. We're going to try to keep it together, but Mia and I are the cutest. I'm sorry. We just are. So we can't help it. Mia is behind me right now. She's in her room, but she's literally, so that wall that you see, she's on the other side of it. Mia, during the pandemic, had to listen to me give 400 virtual keynotes. So
it was great.
It was great and also sometimes a lot. Okay. Hi, Mia. Mia, this is your first time on the Awesome Human Podcast.
I'm so excited.
I am so excited. This is really special, everyone. Okay. So first facts, Mia, tell us about yourself a little. How old are you? What are you up to?
I am 19. I'm a sophomore in college. I go to Wesleyan, which some of you probably know, which is Natalie's alma mater and also my dad's alma mater. I'm a neuroscience major. I'm pre-med. I like to play piano. I like to read. I like to go to the gym. I love my mom.
And you dance. You do Latin dance.
And
someone
dance.
Actually, in chat said that, yes, that Mia did play piano for us years ago during the pandemic. You did. You're absolutely right. Whoever remembered that,
Andy,
of course.
Wow.
Great memory. Yes. But this is the first time she's officially on the podcast. Okay. So Mia, without further ado, like you and I talked about what I wanted to talk about, but one of the things, again, I just want to say this, you've probably heard me talk about Mia and write about Mia. Mia, all my books are dedicated to Mia. My Awesome Human Journal is dedicated to her and my husband, Avi, but all my books are dedicated to her. And the reason for that is because Mia's been a great teacher for me and a great guiding light for my transformation from going from someone who was really unkind to themselves to someone who is very self-compassionate and loving of myself. And so I want to talk about that with Mia. So I'm just going to ask her a bunch of questions. And I do want to encourage everyone, if you want to ask me a question about anything, me or anything at all, including if you have teenagers, you want to hear advice, anything like that, the best thing is to put it into the Q&A at the bottom of your screen. That's the easiest thing for me. But if you put it in chat, we'll probably see it there too. All right. So Mia, very official question. Okay. So I just want to ask you, and like, we didn't rehearse this, everyone. So there's no like rehearsal. So how would you describe kind of, you've witnessed a change in me over the last few years? Like, what would you describe that you've witnessed?
I mean, I'm going to speak from like a retrospective point, but like, I think about how I see you learn to like be okay inside, and then that translates to being okay with things outside. I think like, I was thinking about this last night, of course, because I was thinking about what you might ask me. And I was just thinking like, I think you used to be really sensitive to like changes and sudden like things in the environment, or like I would spring plans on you or whatever, and you would just sort of be a little bit like, whoa, hold on, like I can't receive this. There was a lot of that where it was like you couldn't like receive things, but you couldn't really communicate that necessarily, and so then it would come off as like, don't talk to me, not to say you're like some horrible person, like there, it wasn't any of like, oh my God, why is she doing that? I was just, I think I understood. But now it's just I spring something on you or whatever, there's something said, and it's just like, okay, like you can receive things in such a better way. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're like crossing your own boundaries for stuff or like forcing yourself to talk to me when you don't have the energy. It's actually the opposite. You communicate to me, like, you know how you're feeling, you know if you can receive something. But even if you're not necessarily like ready to hear me talk for 25 minutes, like, I might talk and then you're like, okay, Kusik, like, let's talk about this later. There's never like, don't do this right now. Like, there's no, it's just so much less of that. And it's like,
I actually haven't heard you talk about my ability to receive things. I think that's very wise. And I'm not saying this as your mom. Like,
this.
I actually haven't heard, because I think you're absolutely right. And I actually, like, you're helping me really like articulate to others, like, for example, like, even in this coaching program that Mia's been part of, like, my creating it, like, why, what it will help you do. That's the thing. Like, when I learned to be kinder to myself, it expanded my ability to receive things, including I can handle stress, including receiving love, including, like, just you have more capacity. I actually haven't heard you talk about that. I think that's, go Mia, everyone. Okay, can you tell everyone, this is my favorite story, and this, and once we go live with Unleash Your Thriving, the coaching program, and again, I put the link in chat, everyone who's here live, if you want to get on the wait list to be the first to know when we launch. We're launching in a couple of weeks, and there's some special goodies. Mia's been part of my creating it, so she knows I can't wait to launch it. It's the first time I've offered a coaching program where there's like live calls and accountability check-ins and all kinds of things. There's even an option to work one-on-one with me. But can you share my favorite story, which is will be on the page, that we call it the tomato story, the tomato knife story, to illustrate the way that things used to be. Again, like, Mia, you can see how much love she has, but tell the tomato story.
This was actually, but the tomato story, I'll preface, was like peak, like, as the teenagers would say, going through it. Like, this was peak going through it. And
what Mia means is my, like, deep, like, the lowest point of my burnout. I love that. Going through it. I'm going to use that.
Going through it. I was like 8 years old. And I go, she's like, oh, please cut some tomatoes, making a salad, whatever. And I go to cut these tomatoes and I take a flat knife. So not a serrated one, just like a regular straight knife. And I cut one of the tomatoes. And as many of you will know, if you don't use a sharp enough knife, it burst. And the tomato burst. And she was just, Natalie was just like, why would you do that? I've told you to use a serrated knife. Like, it was just like, I can't believe you just did
that. It was not
that.
A pretty moment, like, okay? It was one of, for all the parents here, and please say hi in chat if you're a parent. It's one of those moments, like, I've heard Mia tell this story. I'm cringing inside, like, all the bad, like, go on.
And I just, obviously in the moment, I'm like, why is she getting so upset? Like, I don't understand why it's a big deal. You can clean it up easily. Retrospectively, she just couldn't handle one more thing going wrong. It was just another thing. And also, I'm going out on a limb here, maybe feeling like you were not teaching me correctly, feeling like you weren't parenting me correctly, like I should have known. But just, again, this sort of inability to receive any, especially like negative input.
And now, first of all, Mia now uses serrated knives.
Now I use serrated knives. So we don't even have that issue. But no, it's just like, I can't even imagine you reacting like that. I can imagine you reacting like something big, something actually like bad, or like making a giant mess. I don't know. But I even think like, oh, I think about like, okay, what if I accidentally like left the blender open when I blended it? She'd just be like, okay, Mia, come on, like, clean it up. Let's run it back. Like, there would never be this like, holy effing whatever, why did you just do that? Because it's okay. Things are more okay because in here it's more okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't you guys think Mia should just like be with me all the time and share all these things that, you know, it's, I mean, obviously my heart grows bigger every time I hear you speak, Mia, but I also hope that for all the people here, especially if you're a parent, especially if you're someone who maybe is not in a dark place like I was, but in an overwhelmed place. I mean, you reply to my emails. I know a lot of you are overwhelmed. And you feel like you just cannot take time for yourself. Like, I listened to this and I have to say, like, Mia, I haven't said this to you. Like, when you share the story, like, I used to get really angry at myself for that, but I actually don't. I actually now feel mostly just compassion. Like, I know I was really struggling. So even that has changed, like the judgment of myself. I'm like, wow, that really sucked. But I was so overwhelmed, you know? And again, like, I think one thing that me and I often talk about, so cooking is one of my love languages. I grew up and my mom always cooked, my grandma. So I cook and it's pretty tasty. We joke that I run a restaurant around here. Me and Avi eat really well. But I, you know, when Mia was younger, I really was obsessed, I would say, that Mia can never not have like a fully home cooked meal. So Mia, what would I do? Because it's related to why I couldn't receive.
Every Sunday, it was like legitimately a restaurant was being run out of our kitchen, but a one-man restaurant where she would go and cook. I think you said it would be a soup and like three entrees and like two or three sides for the rest of the week. Because she was working, Avi was working, so like I had a nanny who would then feed me dinner, but it was like a production, like a one-man cooking production every single week for years. Like, you didn't stop doing that until I was like 12. And I just, like, we were talking about this the other day. I was like, I said, I can't believe you did that. Like, how did you used to do that? It was like you were running a kitchen every Sunday. Even in the summer, you were doing it all the time.
Well, that's the thing, right? And again, I actually remember, I think I wrote about this in one of my books, maybe in Happier Now, that I remember standing there and I would often like start during the day, then we'd put me to sleep and then I'd keep going. And then I'd work after that, like till 2 in the morning. And I would remember like standing there, like mixing or whatever, and like feeling like bone exhausted. But I also had this, and Mia, I think you've heard me say this, like, I also had this like martyr pride. I was like, see, like I can hardly stand, but I am making Mia homemade meals. And like, I say this because I think it's really hard truth for many to face when we enter this martyr mentality. Like I can hardly stand, but I'm still gonna make her these meals. That actually, you know, if you think about, connect that to the tomato story, because I was treating myself so poorly, then I would snap at Mia. I couldn't bring my full being to her. Like I often say, like I served her this amazing home-cooked food, but with a side of stress and overwhelm and snappiness and not being able to really listen to her. And you know what? If I could make that choice now, I'm not saying I wouldn't cook. I still cook. But like, just as an example, this is like the best truth is in the action. So I mentioned we got back from our big trip. Mia and Avi were with me on our big trip to Mexico City with my parents. And yesterday we were all like super exhausted because, you know, we got in super late. And so I was like on the plane, I was like, all right, you guys, like no like fancy mama cooking this week. Like, can we make like a big salad? And then last night I was like, okay, we need a vegetable. Like I want a vegetable. And Mia was like, ooh, great, mashed sweet potatoes. Like, that's super easy. And so we had a wonderful meal. Everyone was fed, but I didn't have to over effort myself into exhaustion. And so then I could actually be with Mia and Avi and hang out. And, you know, we sat on the floor, watched our show and ate our stuff. So I think it's really important to remember, like, and I love the way that Mia talks about it, like, if we over effort ourselves to exhaustion, thinking that we're taking care of others, we're serving that with a side of a lot of things we probably don't want them to experience. Good question, Mia. Someone just asked, like, what advice would you give to people who might be living with someone like I was, who are going through burnout or who are treating themselves poorly? Like, what advice would you give? I actually don't know what you would say. I want to hear.
I think a big part of it is trying to implement ways to get them to pause. I try to do this now. That is my secret. I try to do this now with Natalie sometimes when I see like the sort of the spiral, or the not the spiral, but like getting a little bit wound up or like stuck in her own head, like just trying to find ways. And if they're not very open to like direct communication, finding like subtle ways to get them to pause in their own thoughts or in their own actions, because that can be so powerful, where they just like stop themselves and then they have a chance to take a breath, and they have a chance to be like, what is it that I want to be saying, doing, acting, communicating? And it gives them a second. I mean, I do this with myself. Like, you'll people do it with themselves. They're like, you're getting all anxious maybe about something, and you want to pause yourself and be like, what do I actually want to say or feel? So trying to find ways to be like, hey, let's do this for a second. Hey, why don't you put down the knife and let's whatever, like, however, whatever the situation may be, trying to get them to like take, it can be 2 seconds to just like pause, take a breath, and they get to breathe and they get to think. And I think that can be really powerful.
I love that, Mia, but I want to share another example of what Mia would do. I don't even know if you know Mia, that you were doing it intentionally or not, but I remember I was going to yoga, and actually I'm going to write an email about this, because I did the most yoga in the year that I felt the worst. And I love yoga, by the way. I've been doing yoga for a decade, but yoga alone is not enough. But I remember it was a big thing for me to actually, like, on the weekend, because I work, so I didn't see Mia a ton during the week. So on the weekend, I was like, must spend every minute with Mia or I'm a bad mother. And like, but then I remember, like, as I started to recover from burnout, like, I was like, okay, going to yoga is something that I'm doing for myself. And I remember this one particular, I don't remember when, babes, but like, I remember it was very specific memory in my head where I put on my yoga clothes, and then Avi and Mia were hanging out in the kitchen, and I was gonna go get my like yoga mat. And then I was like, no, I'm not gonna go because I'm missing out time with you guys. I don't know. And I'll never forget, Mia looked at me and she was like, mama, don't you love yoga? And I was like, yeah. She was like, when you do yoga, you're happier. Please go to yoga. And it was just like, I don't know, you were like 12 or whatever, but like, it was such a wonderful, like, she didn't guilt me into it. She wasn't like, gave me a speech about it. But I think that's the other thing that you can do to the question of what you can do to support people who are not taking care of themselves. I think you can like, be that encourager in a very positive, bright way. Like, that's what Mia was for me. And I don't think, like, she was young. Like, I don't think you even connected the two, but you just spoke truth, because that's what kids do. They just speak truth. And you were like, yoga makes you happier. Go to yoga. And I think about that. A lot. Okay. I want to read a couple of comments, because everyone loved so much what Mia was saying, but I want to read a couple of comments. Susie wrote, I'm not a parent, but I see your description of Natalie in myself in interactions with my husband, sometimes not able to absorb anything else and bad reactions with tears and apologies to follow. I think, thank you for sharing, Susie. That's really vulnerable and powerful. And I think that, yeah, you don't have to be a parent. I think that someone wrote that they see that in their interactions with clients or people at work. And again, I think this insight that Mia shared about when you're in struggle, when you're so tough on yourself, when you're so exhausted, you have no capacity to handle anything else. How do you react? With impatience, by snapping, and then apologizing. Actually, babes, talk about that, because you told me this many times, that the other thing that was very startling for you, again, like, I've always been a loving mom. Like, I don't judge myself. Like, Mia's grown up with so much love, but that you would talk about that, like, you would do something small, I would snap, and then I'd feel so bad, I'd start apologizing. And it was like a lot of whiplash. Can you talk about that? Because I think that's another way to really recognize our inability to receive when we're so tough on ourselves.
I mean, it was just like, especially when I was younger and like not really aware of why things were happening, it was a lot of like, if I say this thing, is she going to get upset? If I do this thing, like, is this too much? And then it was like, I remember all the time, like, I would do something and you'd get upset. And then, you know, retrospect, like, you probably felt bad that you got upset about, you like buy me a gift. And it was like, oh, nice gift. Da, da, da. But I still didn't really know why the thing I had done was like frustrating or whatever. Like there were a lot of tomato situations where it was something that I didn't understand why it made you upset. And of course, retrospectively, like now it would never make you upset. Now it would never make you snap. But when you don't have capacity for anything, especially negative, like especially like I come home upset and you're like, oh my God, what do I do with this? Now it's like a little bit, oh my God, what do I do with this? Oh no, my, you know, my girl is sad.
But I keep it all inside.
Not a little. But it used to be things, especially negative things. It was like, I think like so much negativity in here and in here, you can't handle anything else coming in.
And I think that's such a powerful thing that I want you all to hear. And in Mia's words, it's really powerful because it's so pure that, you know, so many people tell me that they're struggling or they're burning out, they're really exhausted, but they feel selfish about doing anything to make themselves feel better because they want their family needs them or their work. And I just think like, as Mia's talking, it's just like resonating with me that you actually, and you've all heard me say, like, you cannot give what you don't have. Like if you don't have any capacity to give your attention, your patience, your understanding, you can't force it. And so the only solution is to then focus within, you know? And the other thing I just want to say, and Mia's heard me say this, like, and Mia knows that the way, like, everything has always come from love. The way I am now, the way everything has always come from love, but you don't have access to your full love when you're struggling all the time, when you're so hard on yourself. I have a lot more love to give because I have a lot more capacity to give. And that means like taking, you know, stupid stuff happening or negative stuff happening. I just have a lot of love to give. All right, Mia, good question. Someone's asking, I like this. What is a reminder that you two would like to set as mother-daughter for the upcoming year? And how do you plan to support each other in achieving it? I like it because we've not discussed it. What is our reminder, Mia, as a mother-daughter?
Okay, I'm going to say something. I don't know if this is going to surprise you. To be okay with being completely vulnerable and not worrying about the other person, like, not being able to handle it. Because I think me and you, we do this with each other sometimes where we're, like, so worried that the other person will be upset by our upsetness. And we hold back, not in even like a martyr way, like, oh, I need to be happy. It's more of like, I don't want them to have to like carry this, or oh, I don't want to not burden, because I don't ever feel that way. I don't know if you feel that, but I never feel that way. But like, oh, I don't want you to carry this feeling. I don't want you to think, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to worry. That's a big one. And I think me and you can like say to each other, like, the both of us can handle each other's emotions, good and bad, and in the middle.
I'm not surprised, but I love what and how you just said. So I'm in. Everyone, maybe Mia will come on the podcast again mid-year so we can check in on how we're doing this. But I love it. And so we actually were talking about this, right? Was it on the plane? We actually had this conversation recently about, oh, I know what it was. So there's this thing in my family where my grandpa really did it. My dad does it. My mom too. My dad. We're like, okay, we'll just share. So we got back with my parents. It was like 12:30 a.m. when we landed, and they live 2 miles away from us. So the car dropped us off first at the house, and then they live a little further. So it was dropping them off. Fine. Everything was amazing. The next day, like midday, I text them like, hey, did you guys get some sleep? Blah, blah. And my dad replies and is like, well, we've actually had an interesting day because when we got home, there was no heat in the house. And our boiler wasn't working, and we slept downstairs with space heaters. And I was like, why? Why wouldn't you like call us and come sleep at our house? Like, why? But I know why, because they don't want a burden, you know, they're like, can handle it. And me and I have bajillion stories like this. So we have this thing in our family to not worry each other, to like we don't want, like, there's that thing. So I think it's such a powerful thing, Mia, that you just said, because I often, so I had a teacher, her name is Janet, that Mia knows about, when I was recovering from burnout and really just kind of transitioning to a different way to live. And she said to me once that I have an opportunity to transcend a lot of the suffering that my family had gone through, that Russian Jews had gone through, that refugees have gone through, and choose a different way for me and Mia. And that's always, Mia's heard me say this, that was always my guiding light. And so I think that what, Mia, you just said, like, you and I can do this differently. Like, we can trust each other's capacity to handle the other person not doing well or whatever. But again, we can only do that. It's back to what you were saying. Like, you can only trust me with that because I'm okay. Like, I take care of myself. I have a lot of capacity, and so can you. So I think it's a thank you to whoever asked that question, because I think this is a great reminder. I think a lot of times, you know, and I wrote about this in Happier Now, my first book, that I would never tell Mia when anything was wrong in my life when she was younger. Like, I would put on this, like, everything's amazing, babes. Everything's, you know, and that pretending is actually very hard to do. But more than that, it actually, like, caused us to not be as open with each other, and probably taught Mia at the time to not tell me a lot of things. But when you learn to acknowledge your own difficult feelings and to be able to openly share them, it's actually not a burden, it's a gift. Actually, Mia, talk about this. Like, because you know that I now really share with you, like, when you were home for Thanksgiving, I, like, had a really bad, like, I was in a bad, difficult place, and talk about that. Like, I can now be open and talk about how, like, I don't know, as my daughter, as someone who loves me, how it makes you feel and how we're now able to handle that.
I mean, I'll say a couple things. The first thing I'll say is that kids can always sense when something's wrong. It doesn't, unless they're very, very little, or it's like something not appropriate to tell them. They can always tell. I can always tell. I can still always tell. Doesn't really make any sense to not share it, because your kid, your partner, your close friends, they're going to know that something's up. And if you just keep saying that everything's fine, they're going to be like, why is this person not sharing with me? Like, this is weird. This is odd. Like, I find it odd when my friends from school, when, like, I know something's up, and they're like, no, I'm great. And I'm like, but you're not. I know you're not. So tell me. Like, I want to know. And before we had that conversation around Thanksgiving, when Avi, my dad, he picked me up from school, and he was telling me, like, mama is not doing great. She's really stressed, this, that, whatever. And I was like, oh, I really wish she would have like an adult conversation with me. I want her to see me as an adult. And then the next night she talks to me, and I was like, oh my God, I spoke this into existence. Not really, but I did a little bit. And we just talked, and she was just like sharing with me how she was feeling. And I didn't actually, it was wonderful. I didn't feel any pressure to, like, fix anything. I was like, this is great. Like, just talking. And obviously I'm weaving in a little bit here, the sense of, like, growing up and being both a child and a friend. Like, there's that funny relationship sometimes to navigate. But the bigger part here is, like, I was so happy that she was just talking to me about it. Like, this is awesome. And it wasn't awesome, the topic of conversation, but I was so happy that we, like, just sat and talked.
And I think, like, you can see it in Mia's face. You know, there's this assumption that we often make with our kids, with our colleagues, with our partners, with our friends, that people want us to be happy, or they want us to be positive, but they don't. They want us to be human beings. Like, Mia is like, there's no better word to articulate it. What they really want is the humanness. And you've all heard me say this a billion times. People do not want your perfect. They want your humanness, because it's the humanness in us. Like, that's who we really are. So when you share that, even when it's difficult, like, you see it in Mia's face, it's not a giant burden. It's actually, oh my God, I get access to the human. So I hope you remember, like, you take this with you, and, like, you carry this, because no better way to say it. All right, I have to ask you, babe. So I know I've said this to you. Whenever I do, like, a keynote or a presentation or a workshop, the number one question usually is, Natalie, how can I help teach this to my kids. I have teenagers who are super stressed out, or I have younger kids, or I have kids in college who are super stressed out, constantly like hard on themselves. What's your advice? So I'm going to put you in the spotlight, Mia, and say, what would be your advice to parents of how they can help their teens practice more self-compassion and be kinder to themselves? Because we all know preaching does not work. Hi, I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Number one, teach by doing. Like number one above everything, the next piece of advice is number 100. Because if I watch Mama or Avi or my dad, like, make a mistake or do something they didn't want to do, and then it's not the end of the world and it's okay, and they figure out how to fix it and they talk about it, I'm like, oh, okay. It's even if it's not conscious, they're like, as kids, and you parents know this, you know this, like, we soak up everything that we see. And I'm a very like sponge brain. Like, I really soak in all the behaviors that I see, and that can be a good thing and a bad thing, but it's a great thing when you're aware of it as a parent or as a friend to your friends, whoever you're trying to help. But as a parent, like, it can be a great thing if you're aware that your kid is going to soak up what they see you doing, and so you start to act with a lot of self-compassion. You can even say things out, even if it feels weird. I even think, like, say things out loud, be like, yeah, I did this today, but this is how I reacted to it. They're not going to forget that. I don't, like, a lot of the things that Mama says to me, like, I don't forget them, especially when they're about her behaviors and how she reacts to situations, because I want to learn how to, like, none of us, I don't think, want to be in a place where we're not kind to ourselves, or want to be in a place where we can't forgive ourselves for doing things. So that's my big thing.
The answer I give. So again, we did not rehearse this, and I didn't ask Mia to say this, but it's really true. You know, I often say this, like, and you know this, and again, I think it's true, like, a lot of you I know here are leaders, you lead a team at work. It's the same thing. It telling people what to do really doesn't work. It's modeling behavior. That's what actually works. And then actually acknowledging it. You know, the other day, this was a while ago, but I know I've talked about this with Mia. Oh no, we were walking, it was somewhere in Mexico City, where I was saying that I don't know why I just thought of it. Oh, because we were talking about how amazing the trip was, but like, it was intense. And I said, you know, for me, like, I need a lot of alone time, and I haven't had alone time in like a week and a half, and I'm like losing it a little bit. And I said to Mia, I love the two things that just happened. I said, one, I love that I can now say this to you, like, I need alone time. And I know you don't take it like, oh, my mom doesn't like me. And the second is, like, I've heard Mia say that, like, okay, I just need some alone time. So Mia's learned how to be aware. And it was like, again, a small but huge thing, because I became aware of my need for alone time. I've communicated, like, Mia's used to me saying, you know, Avi and Mia are the greatest humans in my life, but they can chit chat for like hours. And I'm a true introvert. So sometimes I tune out, and sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, I can't. And I'll say to them with like love, I'm like, guys, that's it. I'm going. I said it yesterday. I'm like, I'm disappearing today. I am not here. And like, because I'm really open and it doesn't come off as some like, oh my God, I can't handle it, Mia knows. And usually they're just like, yeah, go away. Go away. But also my awareness and my doing that thing, like taking alone time, because that is something that I need to be a great human. It's taught Mia to be like aware of when she needs it, and be able to say to me and Avi or her friends or whoever, like, guys, alone time. So I think this modeling, like, you do the thing you want your kids to do, or your team members or your partner or your friends, is like, may not be the advice we want to hear, but it's actually true. All right, as we wrap up, again, any fun questions for Mia? I'm going to ask her some fun questions about me, but you can ask any fun questions about me. Mia, what are some of my, because I just think it's fun, what are some of my like quirks or funny habits that you think people should know? Because it's fun.
Hates packages. Hates receiving, actually likes receiving packages when it's something she's excited about. But like, will frequently send pictures in our family group kind of like, guys, I'm scared. And there's like four packages in the front of like the door. I open, Avi or I always open the packages. If you look at a package that Natalie on her own has tried to open, you will laugh. It looks like a dog or a cat maybe like went and fought with this box. I don't know why she's against scissors. I don't really know what it is, but hates opening packages, but always wants to see what's inside.
I do.
So I open a lot of packages. Avi opens a lot of packages. Just can't do the package. It doesn't matter what kind of package it is. Mm-hmm. It also like bags of food, bags of nuts, like never, it can never, you know, those little notches, she never sees them. She tries to like open it in different ways. My favorite thing. And I'm like, I'm here to help. I'm always here to help. I always run over and help because it's great. And I feel useful. It's awesome.
Yes, I'm in a constant war with packages. Okay, Mia, there's like a war going on, a battle, let's just call it, in the comments about who is funnier, me or Avi, because obviously everyone knows that I'm the funniest person in my family. It's in my official speaking bio. Like the last thing the audience, when they read my bio, when I run onto the stage, the last thing people hear is that I'm the funniest person in my family. It is in my official bio. So apparently there's like, Avi is on and, you know, has things to say. So go ahead, Mia. I'm just going to put you on the spot. Who is the funniest person in our family? Am I funnier than Avi?
I'm going to give you such
your entire
not the answer
future
you
hangs
hear.
On this question, literally.
But it doesn't. Natalie is very like witty with her jokes. You have great timing. You have great like speed with the responses. Like I don't know if people, this is a contextual thing. I don't know if people find it funny, but you know those like hop on, hop off like tour buses you see in like London and different cities. So we're walking once, I think it was in London, and one of the guys with the little pamphlets was like, do you want to come on the hop on, hop off? And she was like, we're gonna say hopped off, thank you. Like so quick and like witty and funny. Avi does more of like the silly jokes.
Dad
like
jokes.
The yeah, dad jokes. Sorry, Avi, dumb jokes, but like I still laugh at them. So I find them both very funny, but in very different ways.
That was a fantastic,
that's my annoying neutral answer.
Democratic, neutral response. Okay, you have learned to handle challenging questions.
I will say, I'm the funniest.
Oh, seriously.
Don't believe all the propaganda you hear. It's not Natalie, it's me.
Nice. She is pretty funny. I do I do want to say though, in seriousness, and I think I've said this before, our family laughs a lot. A lot, a lot. And I think that is a really important thing. I think that it is a really important thing to not take it all so seriously because life is tough. We laugh a lot. And I think it's a giant kind of glue for us. We laugh at each other. We laugh with each other. I think that's a really big thing, actually. I've been thinking about this lately because there's a lot of hard stuff that we all go through together separately. I think laughing and just being able to have that moment, or sometimes it's like an hour where we can't calm down. I think it's a really, really important thing. And that was, you know, one of my reminders for myself this year was like to have more lightness. I think it's a really important thing as we're talking about self-care and self-compassion and like feeling good to like know when to laugh and to not take it all so seriously. Cause I think that's a big thing. Mia, can you come in here and give me a hug as we say goodbye? Cause it's magic and we can do it. Because she's in the next room. All right, everyone. This has been a giant gift to share Mia with you. It's been a giant gift to me. I hope it's been a giant gift to you. And because of magic, I might have.
Oi. Ooh, I love you.
Whoops. Whoops. And we just disconnected our camera. What did we just do? Technical difficulties. Hold on. Here. Okay. Sorry, everyone. We just stopped our video. Okay. This is the power of a hug. It interrupts a podcast. And wait, someone's saying we should have a Netflix series.
No,
Netflix series we both enjoy. Okay.
Modern Family.
Okay, Mia's
Modern
obsessed
Family.
with Modern
You
Family.
like to
I
watch
know,
it,
I
right?
love it too now. So we love watching that together. And she's watched it like roughly a billion
Like
times,
six.
six times through. And I love when she's home, we just hop in and watch a an episode together. So yeah, Modern Family. And oh, Darren says Modern Family is gold. So we have
See?
other fans. Okay, thank you all for being. Thank you for sharing yourselves with us. Thank you for letting me share my light with you. And a reminder, I'm going to do it one more time. Unleash Your Thriving, my first ever online coaching program to fuel your emotional fitness and happiness and joy, is launching in a few weeks. And I'm going to put a link in chat. Hold on, make sure it's for everyone. And I encourage you to get on the wait list. You'll be the first to hear about it. It's kind of awesome, Mia.
I'm so
She helped
excited.
me put it together. If you get on the wait list, you'll be the first to hear about it. And there's special bonuses that will just be available for the wait list and no one else. And you will see Mia when the program launches in it. And she helped me create it, and it's the best. Thank you all for being. Happy New Year. Remember to be kind to yourself. Maybe take a moment after this and write down one reminder to self. And remember, when you fuel yourself, when you don't over-effort, when you're kind to yourself, you have a greater ability to receive and to give. Thanks, everyone. Bye. All right, awesome humans. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. And I would love to know what resonated. What questions do you have? What are you excited to practice? So send us an email to team@happier.com. And please rest assured, if you send an email that you'd love for me to read, I will always get it in my inbox. My team will send it to me. Let's stay in touch so you can keep practicing skills to help you struggle less and thrive more in work and life. The best way to do it is to go to happier.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, I would never send you spam. It's just more practices, skills, and stories to help you embrace your inner awesome human. I can't wait to see you next week.